Welcome to the 125th Monk in My Back podcast. Visit the site at monkcomments.com and email us at monkcast@gmail.com to leave comments and contributions. We look at a few of this week's books, Nick and I talk about a nice day out in London, and in the spotlight, Nick reviews Luna Park. Momcast, the comic book podcast that's keeping a very close eye on that there submarine. Around the light tonight,
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hi there, I'm James.
Hello, I'm Jane.
I'm going to try not to cough at the microphone today, just in case.
I'm going to get inside the microphone and cough.
You just try not to resonate or vibrate, James, because you were vibrating a lot last week.
I am vibrating. It's because I've attained a higher state of consciousness, like Guru Josh.
So, Jane, what have you been doing this week?
That's me. I'm vibrating. That's what I sound like. I'm vibrating.
Is that the song that tune that keeps going higher and higher pitched until only dogs can dance to it?
Yeah, it's like
the dogs go mental.
That was the birth of Hard House, wasn't it?
Really? I love that tune.
I liked Hard House. It was good.
I really like that tune.
What have you been doing this week, Jane?
This week I have done lots of things. One thing of note is going to London Super Comic Convention on Sunday.
That on this weekend?
Yes.
Can't talk about that yet, though.
Well, it's something I did this week, and I'll discuss
it.
I asked the question.
You did ask the question, sorry, but you can't talk about it yet. Are you going to mention it in passing? Are you going to punch him in the face?
Apparently I can't read.
Oh. Jane hates me so much.
I do
right
hate
now.
You so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, specifically right now?
Yeah, I'm just going to read this book very quietly.
But it's your turn. What have you been doing this week?
No, Jen hasn't finished yet, sorry.
And I went out with friends on... Well, I went around a colleague's house with an ex-colleague on Tuesday evening. That was very nice. We had a lovely time. Unfortunately, I'm not particularly girly, and one of my friends is getting married, so we spent a lot of time looking at wedding dresses. And as
tedious wedding bullshit.
And the person who's getting married dropped me off at the train station, so I catch the train back to Southampton. And she didn't instigate the wedding dress searching mission. It was the other person who's slightly older and loves the idea of people getting married. She wants her own daughter to get married soon. And she said, "I found it boring. You must have been bored to tears." And I said to her, "If I'm honest, they all just look the same. I'm particularly ungirly when it comes to some things, and that was just completely off my radar. I didn't know what to say or do."
Were they mainly looking at white dresses?
Yeah, there was one red dress which I liked.
Is she a virgin?
I don't know.
Well, because this is very... She can't wear white if she's...
Well, I don't know if she's going to wear white. It might be off-white, she goes for. Oh. I was just about to say, in this day and age, you can wear whatever you want, Nick. It doesn't matter like it used to.
What have you been up to this week?
I've been lying
in bed.
For
God's sake, would you just stop talking about Jane's week?
I've been in bed. I've been really unwell. It's horrible.
I think you deserve it.
Bedridden, poorly sick. It was horrible.
Were you vomiting and chewing?
It was the closest thing I've had to flu for as long as I can remember. I was... delirious for most of the weekend. Tried to go back to work on Monday. Made it through half a day. Went home and took myself to bed until Wednesday afternoon. Mm. Bought a fish tank though.
While you were delirious?
No. On Saturday I stood in the shop we bought it in. I had the sweats and everything. It was horrible.
Are you going to keep fish?
It's a big aquarium. Well, now we've got the aquarium, it seems stupid not to.
Is that the order, decision making you went around? Yeah. I just really feel we need a big glass thing in the corner of the room.
What are we going to do with this big heated tank of water now we've got it? Well, we could run tepid baths from it,
Teach Scarlett how to swim.
One of you at
one end, like making waves so that she can swim forward.
It's a biorb.
Oh, so it's round.
So it's like a huge 60-litre fish bowl.
You could wear it like a space helmet.
I think eventually that's what I can see in the future, it becoming part of a costume that we make for Scarlett that will be a kind of spaceman helmet.
So we're assuming she's going to be a bit geeky.
Well, yeah. Well, she says her favourite thing to say at the moment is "attat."
Oh.
And I have to pick her up. She says it less common sounding than me. I have to pick her up and I have to fire the guns that make the noise on the front of my AT-AT. And she goes, AT-AT.
Does her voice
yes,
sound...
please.
Is she sounding a bit posher than you?
Yeah, she sounds... What do you reckon, Jane? You've heard her talk.
She sounds like a child.
She sounds like a little, year and a half old girl.
Do children not become common until later?
No, she has no accent of any kind. Most children don't.
She's funny. Boring? Is that what you're saying?
Because she says hat, not at.
Hat-at?
No, when she wants to wear a hat. She's got quite the vocabulary on her.
Oh, she's pronouncing her H's.
Yeah, she hasn't learnt to drop them yet.
So. Is she using hard consonants like we English don't?
I don't know what a hard consonant is, I suppose. Like Africa?
Yeah, it's hard. Terribly difficult life the people have
it
there.
Is, yeah. Australasia.
Thank you for asking, Jane.
I didn't finish telling you about mine.
Oh, I thought you had.
I finished now. How was your week?
I also was off sick, but I don't think I was as ill as you, I wasn't as dramatic about it. I only had a couple of days off and I had a blood test today, and I made the mistake of watching while the woman took my blood, and it looked like an awful lot, and I said, do I need to be careful or anything this afternoon? She said, no. As if like she'd
what?
Literally
How
hardly
much?
Taken
no more
any
than
blood
normal.
At all.
How much did she take?
3 vials.
Oh,
that
that's
big.
Nothing.
They were quite big vials. They were like, yep. I am indicating...
Yeah, no, I'm with you, mate. I don't like
I've
having that much
I've had six
taken.
Done it once. I've had...
Well, and it looked all sludgy, and I wasn't... And I said, does it normally look a bit sludgy? She was like, yeah.
It's just your blood coagulating.
She was utterly unimpressed with my blood, Jane, like you would have apparently
we've
been.
We've established long not... ago, Jane, that you're much more macho than Nick and I, so...
Oh, no.
You don't
just,
get a say
I'm
on this.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
But I was
I
quite
like
fascinating. I like how bright red it was. I watched it. I did
well, that's
watch
good.
It. But
it's but good when your blood's oxygenated.
Mm. And I was at a comic convention on Sunday as well up in London.
Just mention it in passing, Nick, because it's on the running order for later.
I wasn't aware that you were there, James.
No, I didn't know you were there too, Nick.
Was James? No, he was
no,
ill.
He
wouldn't
was,
have been
there.
No.
I was invited. I chose not to go.
I wasn't in Cardiff for the comic convention there where Into the Woods was launched. You should definitely buy Into the Woods, listener. It's ace.
Yes, you should. I read it this week. It'd taken me ages to get around to reading it. And there'd be a review on momcomics.com. Written by me, unfortunately, so probably not worth your time reading it, but it is worth your time reading Into the Woods, which is very, very good indeed. I have to say, biased as I am, my friend Nicholas's story with Bevis Musson was my favourite.
Oh. I was going to say something else, and it's gone completely out of my head. It was about this week. It was really important. Oh, yeah, it wasn't really important. But I am apparently now tracking, because one thing I've been waiting for is I didn't know how much I weighed, so I haven't been like using. I've had on my phone since I got it this MyFitnessPal app, which is quite good for tracking, like exercise and stuff like that. But I haven't used it because I haven't known how much I weighed or how tall I was, so I didn't know what my idea. That's my excuse for not being careful of what I was eating or anything. So I finally started using that, and my doctor asked me to start suggested that I should start keeping a poo diary, which Jane has also suggested before. Because she's fascinated with my poo. Jane's only like a normal amount interested in my bowel movements, but the doctor was fascinated.
I just wanted you to take photographs of your movements and send them to me.
Am I supposed to be taking photographs as well?
That's as far as my interest went.
No, you should actually fish this out of the toilet and send it to James.
Okay, I'll do that.
Put it in a paper bag on fire and leave it on the doorstep.
Put it in a box marked delicious chocolates.
And it's difficult to find information on exactly how to... using Google, certainly it's difficult to work out exactly how to diarise that stuff. But and
I don't
also
know, what's the stool scale called? There's a name for it, and there's a famous doctor that I think isn't there.
Because I only know
seven...
two different sorts. There's firm,
no, there's
and uncomfortable,
six or seven
and there's
types of
loose
stool.
And uncomfortable.
Oh, and so then I'm looking it up.
What
normal
you need to
and
do is just describe it with your eyes.
Off brown colour.
The colour, the
there
colours.
Is sweet corn in it.
How long it took you.
We used to have a copy
felt.
Of it up in the office.
But also, so now I'm tracking my my toileting. I'm tracking what I'm eating and how much I'm walking and stuff, which I did lots of walking today. And also I've started measuring, because I'm properly doing, the gardening thing has started properly for this year. So I've organised all of that on a, have you found it?
It's
the Bristol chart.
Bristol stool scale.
Brilliant.
Of which there are 7 types of stool, ranging from separate hard lumps like nuts, hard to pass, to watery, no solid pieces, entirely liquid.
Can I have your phone? Because that's going to be useful.
Yeah.
So I'll keep that. Can I have that back when you're done with it, Jane, please?
Well, just type Bristol stool scale into Google and you can have that page to look at on the internet device of your choice.
But it's on your phone.
Yeah, that's fine. Make it come on yours.
I don't understand. Can you explain the internet to me after this podcast, please?
As soon as it's finished.
But so I'm also measuring. I've been really diligent this year about putting all of the times when I need to be doing certain things in the garden in my Google Calendar as well. So Google Calendar's really been my friend this week.
Absolutely.
I can recommend MyFitnessPal though as an app goes, because it's really good.
Is it free?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wouldn't use it or recommend it if it costed money. You know me.
Can we all recommend an app? We're going to do this, do like an app of the week.
No, this was my week. That was relevant. Did you use an app an awful lot this week?
Let's have a look. I'm going to recommend as my app of the week this week, EA FIFA 12. That's EA FIFA 12. Jane, app of the week?
You don't have to, Jane. He's just being childish.
I shan't.
Shall we do our
let's talk about comics. I'm sure listeners.
Shall we do our you can contact us out and all of that stuff now? Shall we do it now? Would that be a smart time to do it?
Yes. Have you read the new comment on iTunes?
I think
you've already seen it.
Did someone leave a comment on iTunes?
Lee Gallagher.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a brilliant one. Thank you, Lee. It's lovely.
That's why he's my favourite current 2000 AD artist.
Yes.
He's the nicest man in comics.
James is really, really wants to know when Lee's new story's in it as well, don't
you? Yeah, it looked really cool.
You could probably look it up on the internet, but you might as well just ask him now.
Aquila. Well, yeah, when's Aquila? Because I like Romans.
He does. Yeah. Do you like Romans?
Hello. Welcome to the history of Aquila.
I'm sorry, Jane.
Okay.
Yes, listener. Hello.
Hello.
You can leave a comment about this show, or you can contact us at
moncast@gmail.com.
You can leave a comment on iTunes or on the momcomics.com site where this has been posted, or you can contact us on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You can contact us at momcomics or at jamesmomb or janemomb or Nick's site.
Don't bother contacting me at the moment. I'm a right misanthropic twat. So one of the other two at the moment, I'll just be
suck it up.
People have emailed me, and I've been quite jumping neurotic in my emails this week as well.
That must have been really fun for everyone.
No, not really. No, really paranoid cold as well. Like really deep levels of paranoia came with it. It's like I said earlier, it's like a stoner cold.
Is he going to have a breakdown on this show?
I don't know. I think you should talk about comics, Nick.
I'm going to talk about comics.
It might cheer him up.
I'm sorry I blurted over you when you suggested
it. It wasn't in the list. We're working to rule.
Don't forget you can phone us as well. You can phone me on 07789 247.
You haven't even given me your phone number and you're just giving it to the listener.
You liar.
Constantly
texting me in the middle of the night.
I was ludicrously...
It's loose, what does that mean?
loose and hard at the same time.
That's like my entire sex life, you're talking about that. I bought my comics yesterday and I should have had time to read them today because I've been off work, but unlike usual when I take the day off work, I've actually been productive today, so I haven't. But just want to mention, I believe the final issue of The Cape number 4 came out yesterday. I'm looking forward to that. Spaceman by Azzarello and Risso number 4, that's brilliant. We're all reading that, aren't we? No? Have you lost track
Spaceman, I'm going to be talking about
it. Cool, okay, that's good. And I think it's the final issue of Green Wake, so I'm quite excited about all of those. But I made a point of reading 2 books that I wanted to talk about specifically because they were quite unusual. Oh, just briefly, because we did talk about it at length last week. 2080, following on immediately from the big anniversary issue last week. First part of Age of the Wolf, very different from the previous part of Age of the Wolf, but quite interesting. Nicola Dante is still quite good. I didn't read Grey Area yet, but it's got boobies in.
Wicked. I've been enjoying Grey Area as it is, but boobies this week, what a bonus.
And the What If is a Strontium Dog one by Alan Grant and Carlos Etzguerra. What If Max Bubba hadn't killed Wolf? And I found it quite pointless.
I haven't read it yet. I was really confused because the current storyline hasn't wrapped up, has it?
No. And I didn't think this one was very good either. It was just, okay. It was one of those what ifs that didn't really give any insight or anything. Like, there's no real point doing them unless you're like expanding on a particular thing. Oh, one other thing I wanted to talk about very briefly. Let's see if I can find it. Because I picked it up at the con, but I'm not going to mention it then. I picked up a book called Afterlife Inc. because I got talking to the writer mainly because we were still talking to someone else. Mm. And it was one of those things where I'd spent so much time standing in front of his stall not really like talking to him or looking at his stuff that I got into a conversation with him, and he started talking about his book, which I think he first did on the internet. It's called Afterlife Inc. It's quite a nice book. It's £10. And what it is it's about this con man called Jack Fortune who dies and finds himself in an afterlife that's in complete chaos after some weird thing has happened. Mm. And being a con man and a bit of a mover and a shaker, he decides to apply that to... he kind of ends up taking over. He becomes a visionary CEO of the afterlife. And it's quite interesting. It's made up of these short stories with a bunch of different artists. Really interesting. Loads of really good ideas. There is, like, in almost every story, there's maybe one moment where the writing just goes that little bit further than I need it to with description. But generally, it's really well written. The art's really, really nice. And it's fascinating. So that's good. And that's called Afterlife Inc. and I'll put it in the show notes because it was good, and it's a comic I read this week. Also, Six Guns wraps up, fifth part of a 5-part series from Marvel. It's $2.99. It's kind of a modern day like crime western type thing. Not much to say about it as this is the final issue. It's a really nice cover though. I'm not sure who that's by. But it's written by Andy Digger with art by David Gianfelice. We've ended up in a South American nation that's a civil war has just basically started there. And in the middle of this, there's the Texas Range. There are five archetypes of, like, I guess, modern cowboy crime type stuff. There's a Texas Ranger who's like the lawman who's found himself... gone rogue by accident. Well, he's kind of off duty, but he's very law and order oriented. There's a mercenary who also kind of fits the femme fatale role. There's a biker who is like proper Hell's Angel meathead. There's the two gun kid who's a kid who is on a mission of revenge, but he's the most
has two guns.
Yes, he's the most proper sort of archetypal cowboy. Really, he's like this little kid who's great with his two revolvers.
Is he?
And then there's a bounty hunter who's kind of also a mercenary, really. Yeah. And it's good. Lots of action, lots of shooting. What were you going to say? Lots of explosions.
Is
stuff
he
like
Babyface Flanason from The Beano?
I'm going to say yes.
Good.
There's also a backup. I believe it's in the lead up to Schism. It's in all of them. We know how we feel about that sort of thing. I'm just doing something with the show thing.
Just doing Nick's doing technology. We're cover for him. So Jane, you right?
Yeah.
Good.
That was astounding. Well done.
And we're back in the room. Good.
Bongo Comics. I kind of picked this up on a whim. It's only $2.99. It's Ralph Wiggum comics. It's my first issue, he says on the front cover. I haven't really picked up many of the Simpsons comics in years. There was a period of time when I bought all of the Radioactive Man ones and I was picking up the main Simpsons one. But I haven't really picked up any in a while. This kind of was quite a thick book, and it's got this kind of nice matte feeling to it, which I quite like, which is quite unusual because comic covers are nearly all shiny now. And I really like, I'm very drawn to matte paper, to matte covers. I don't know why that is. It's a bit weird, really. But yeah, it's about Ralph Wiggum, who is pretty much my favourite character in The Simpsons. It's fun. It kind of reminds me a lot of really old comics that my granddad gave me that were based on things like Laurel and Hardy and stuff like that, in that it isn't entirely as sophisticated as the subject matter. It's kind of just lots of really stupid antics going on that don't make a lot of sense even within that world. In some of the stories, I'm thinking specifically of the first story, which is called The Man of the House, which is about Ralphie Wiggum being left on his own by his father in the house and trying to be the man of the house and just wrecking everything. Because there's lots of little stories in it, it does that thing where there are so many different creators working on it that some of the stories are really well written. Some of them go too far with, they're working so hard on getting wordplay out of Ralphie or having him do his like trademark getting words wrong that it ends up happening in every other panel and it's a bit much. But some of the stories are really fun. I love little Ralphie Wiggum. The art's handled by lots of different people throughout, but all is always lovely. There are like three pieces of work by Sergio Aragonés in this. Ooh. As well, and his stories are great.
Well, it's the same publisher as Funnies, isn't it?
Oh yeah, of course. He's got that coming out from them as well. It's a lot of fun. I do love Ralph Wiggum. He makes me smile. And the leprechaun who tells him to burn things actually appears in one of the stories as well. So, but I mean, you have to kind of like the character, and it is obviously aimed a little bit at younger readers.
It's nailed on all ages. Are you happy though that you choo-choo chose that?
I am happy that I chose it. Okay. Choo-choo-choosed it. I choo-choo-choose you.
It's my favourite Simpsons moment.
It's one of the best. It's a classic. Yeah. There is a... we were talking immediately before the show about Def Leppard, and that reminded me of a refrain by the Bloodhound Gang, who I love. But they have an excellent song called Ralph Wiggum, and the whole song is made up of things that Ralph Wiggum has said.
Oh.
So it's ridiculous and doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so that was me. What about you, James?
I only got, apart from 2000 AD, I only got four books, so I'm going to talk about all of them. Just to clear up any confusion for listeners, though, I know my reviews are very insightful, and they sound very considered, but I'd like to assure you that they're not written, and it's all what spontaneously comes to mind as I speak.
So what's the first book you're going to be talking about, James? Thank you for that little disclaimer at the beginning, though.
The first book I'm going to talk about this week is called The Amazing Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
He's the galaxy's greatest superhero. It wins cover of the week for me. It's gorgeous. It's Spidey in a Future Foundation spacesuit coming towards, in a zero-G environment, coming towards the viewer of the panel. I think it's gorgeous.
It is a lovely cover. Is he still in the Future Foundation?
He's very much still in the Future Foundation. And in this book, he teams up with Johnny Storm after Jojo and Jameson's son is communicating with Jonah. Jojo and Jameson's...
he's an astronaut.
And he's in astronaut while Jonah's talking to him at Horizon Labs, when all of a sudden communications go down and Spidey needs to press his chum, Johnny, into action.
But I thought Johnny Storm was dead.
Well, you are so very wrong in not listening to my reviews. So he takes Spidey to investigate the mysterious transmission interruption, and thus begins what I think is going to be a quite a large arc. over the coming months. Brilliant.
Well, because there's stuff going on, isn't there?
Dan Slott writes a lovely Spider-Man, doesn't he?
We like him.
But the bantering with Johnny Storm was really pleasing. It's a lovely issue. It's really funny.
He's funny, but also heartfelt.
Absolutely.
This is the first time those two have teamed up on, because they're like a bit of a classic pairing, aren't they?
They are. First time since Johnny returned from the negative zone.
Just very, very briefly, because Pete Parker, J. Jonah Jameson, I was having a conversation with two of my colleagues at work this week, and one of them, Alex, who we mentioned last week.
Hi, Alex!
Yeah, you see, the thing I've worked out, Jane and James, I don't want the listener to hear this, but the thing I've worked out is, if you've got people in your life who don't normally listen to the podcast and you've been trying to get them to listen to the podcast... Yeah. If you make a point of telling a story about them and mention them by name, you can then get them to listen to the podcast, and then they'll listen to it, and you've got a new listener.
Yay, welcome aboard, Alex.
So I was, he'll probably only listen to ones where I tell him that I've talked about him. So I was talking to my colleagues, Alex and Domi, who are getting married, not to each other, to other people. Oh. So anyway.
Separately, congratulations.
And he said... Oh, I think it was him who said, "Oh, isn't it funny? I've just noticed that a lot of the characters have, like, in comics, have alliterative names." And I was like, "You can't seriously have just worked that out." Yeah. But yes, they do. There is absolutely no reason to mention that, except so that I can now get Alex to listen to the podcast.
I tell you what, Alex, Peppa Pig would blow your brains out if you love alliteration.
Now that I've said that story, I'm not even entirely sure it was him who said it, though.
Well, just claim it's him.
Anyway, what's the next comic?
Next comic is... Sorry, that was just to clear up. That was issue 680 of Spider-Man on Marvel Comics.
Was it...
Dan Jane's going to punch me in the face. I can feel it. What?
Was it Humberto Ramos again?
Yes. You look like you're going to hit me then. You look really angry.
No.
We cool. Just before I go on, we cool. Because I don't want to get a sudden rabbit punch to the kidneys.
I wouldn't do it during the show.
Or a donkey punch.
I am so dead on the way out.
Donkey punch.
You wouldn't give James
a
donkey punch.
No, I would
punch,
not give James a donkey punch.
Would I cry?
You would die.
Oh! Next up, DC Comics number 6, $3.99, Justice League. Geoff Johns, Jim Lee, Scott Williams. Finishes up the opening Getting to Know You arc.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that stuff is cleared up and they battle Darkseid. Cyborg does good things.
Is
and
that
they
how
go
you
and
pronounce
meet...
his name?
What?
We've had Darkseid. This conversation.
Have we?
How would you like to pronounce it?
Darkseid, but Darkseid makes much more sense. Yeah. Have we had this conversation?
I think we've had this conversation before.
It sounds like Darkseid.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I can't tell if he's taking the piss out
just
of me or not.
Carry on, see what happens.
There's some lovely Jim Lee art in this. There's a lot of battle sequences, lots of splash panels. And basically the team has now coagulated and will harden off into a blood sausage in the next issue. I've no doubt at all. Blood sausage.
Possibly the most pleasing combination of two words in the English language.
Number 15 of FF from Marvel, Hitman, Dragotta and Sotomayor. If you read the last issue of the Fantastic Four, the conclusion will not be a surprise to you. What is delightful are the character moments for Franklin in particular. You kind of get to learn a little bit more about him and where he's going in this book. But he and Val are just a pleasure. And I enjoy the book a great deal. As I say, it gets to the same conclusion as the previous Fantastic Four, but I guess it kind of has to. There's two stories meshed together.
Are all of Power Pack in this now?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I love Power Pack.
The art's lovely and bubbly and vibrant as well. It's a nice little book. It's not something you can dive into at the moment. You know, it's very much part of Hickman's epic that he's telling with the Fantastic Four at the moment. But I still remain happy as a pig in shit. I jumped on Fantastic Four when Hickman started writing it. Last but not least, from Boom Studios, number 206 at $3.99, which kind of feels worth it. It's a high price point, and you're not getting any extra content for the money, but it's an enjoyable read. Grant Morrison and Ian Gibson's Seed and Mrs. Peel, or if you're British and watch TV as a kid, it's The Avengers, which was Seed and Mrs. Peel. Continuing the story I spoke about last time, there is a murderer on the loose who is taking out members of a prestigious gaming club, and it's got the lovely mix of sort of rather twee English village murder stories mixed with some rather sort of surreal motifs, and is a nice confusing murder mystery at the moment. Sort of Morrison's sort of weaving in some very interesting elements that tie into sort of these people who are into their games, who are part of this gaming club, so there's lots of sort of mysterious riddles and clues and so forth, and it's all a bit confusing.
It's weird.
Lovely,
it's
weird that, nonetheless.
It's weird that they've opted for that particular format, because I think originally it was two thicker volumes. Uh-huh. It came out as two issues, and okay. They were prestige sure. format.
Uh-huh.
So it's peculiar that they've stretched it out.
Is this a reprint? Oh, I didn't realise.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit, the bed. Really?
Well, no, that's okay. I mean, you didn't know. It's new to you.
It is new to me.
I think it's still a reprint.
But I did not know it was a reprint. That is so annoying.
From the
early '90s,
I think.
Yeah, do you know, it does not. So that's annoying, because it does not say anywhere within the book, I don't think, that it's... That's really quite frustrating. I think it's naughty when they do that and don't... Tell you, I haven't got a problem. I'm really enjoying it.
Did you notice it tips that... me off. Because people were talking about it this week, that the Avengers movie is going to be called Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
In Britain.
Yeah.
Is that because of the Avengers? Because if it is, most people don't remember.
But isn't
the
that
Avengers.
Like with the 51st state, they had to call that something else in the States?
Because it wouldn't make any sense to them. I think audiences are smarter than Hollywood necessarily gives them credit for, but and we've all been looking forward to this Avengers movie.
I'm really horribly failing to give a rat's arse, but I'm like that with movies. Yeah. I enjoy it when I see it.
Everyone was talking about the trailer this week. Well, in the last couple of days, I haven't. David Jones died.
Oh, don't. I've been really... I rolled a little tear yesterday. It's really sad.
I found out too late to really register it properly, so I think I got over my shock in my sleep. I kept having dreams about one of the most prominent members of the Beatles dying. I don't know what that was.
That never happened. No. I think for men of our age, though, the Monkees probably are quite important. They were a real fixture of sort of summertime TV, weren't they?
I love them. They were our first boy band.
Yeah. I think probably quite influential in informing the sort of music I like, I think, as well. Mm. I really loved them when I was a kid.
Ridiculous.
I do now. Yeah, it was...
And surreal. I loved them.
Jane,
what comics did you do this week?
This week I picked up issue 6 of Pigs, published by Image, written by Nate Cosby, Ben McCall, and art by Brendo Tamura, with extremely striking cover by Christian Ward.
Mm-hmm. It's a scary cover.
Yeah, if you don't know Pigs, if you go into your local comic book store, I don't know if there's a variant cover or not, I think it's just this cover, there is a man with his sticking out his tongue covered in swastikas.
Mm.
So, very angry looking man.
He's very keen on the swastika, yes, isn't he? He must be quite a keen... Is it Hindu or...?
Well, we find out a bit about him in this issue. Okay. Pigs, I've mentioned it before, if you're not familiar with it though, it's about a second generation of KGB sleepers that have been sleeper cell that have been activated, mm-hmm, to go on a mission, and the mission is to overthrow the United States of America.
So not a small mission then?
No, quite a big one. Mm-hmm. There are five main characters in this, and the one thing I really love about this comic is that at the beginning it has the first page. It tells you previously, and it has the five characters' names now, which is brilliant for when you're reviewing it and you can't remember their names. We're getting a bit of a back. Felix is the main character. He's the white Russian, they call him, because he's blonde and he emigrated to America. He's the main character in this, and in this issue, you learn a bit more about his relationship with the other members. So there's a lot of flashbacks about when they were training, when they were kids and stuff. As you can imagine, there's a lot of emotional undercurrent between the team, and as much as you're on a mission, they were trained together as children and things are bubbling up to the surface. So their mission, or the stage of the mission they're in now, so they have to break into San Quentin Correctional Facility. I know, mm-hmm. not a small task there. Yeah. And they have to perform a hit. Mm.
A pop song?
No, a death hit.
They have to kill someone?
Yes.
This with Sunday. A pop song?
Yes.
Ooh. Took on quite an aggressive
it's
tone.
Not
this
going
comic.
To take. Mm. Not that would not be hard to do either. I can think of many pop songs that if you listen to it more than three times, you might just explode.
I Should Be So Lucky?
No, that's not one of them.
No?
No.
I wouldn't call it lucky.
I Want to Dance with Somebody?
No. I was thinking of really crappy 90s manufactured pop crap.
Well, it's like something like the London Nights by the London Boys.
I don't know what that is.
I'm in my head, I'm kind of dancing with my top off, with my arms over my head right now, but I'm waxed and my physique is much better, and I'm not sure why.
They were a couple of lovely Muscle Marys.
Anyway, so San Quentin, and they're going to kill a person with bullets or death. With death. They're going to make them stop breathing.
Well, we don't know how they're going to kill them. We just know they have to kill somebody, and we get a glimpse of that character. Mm. Excellent story. I think I'm not sure if the hardcover's... first hardcover of the first arc's out yet. No, trade paperback's out in stores in February. So that's volume one, which will be 1-5, I imagine. It's going to be, because this one's only just come out. Brilliant story, really enjoying it. Want to see what happens next. Mm. And the second thing I picked up was Spaceman by Brian Azzarello and...
Eduardo Risso.
Thank you, Nick.
That's okay.
Spaceman, it's issue 4 of 9, and it's coming out through Vertigo, which is good. I think it's the only Vertigo book I'm picking up at the moment, which is quite distressing.
American Vampire.
Oh, yes, sorry, American Vampire. And... there is another one, I can't remember it now. Spaceman is so weird, but brilliant. It's the language in there. You really, the first couple of pages, you find yourself rereading it, which is great, because you're taking in more of the story. But then you get used to the language. And by the end of the story, you think, I brained, is I think.
Yeah.
You just ultimately, your brain has
I love the language,
changed
it makes
it.
Sense, doesn't it?
The language makes a very, it does make a real bizarre sense to you, and it makes the story, and everything's going on so much more fascinating. The spaceman, in the last issue, managed to rescue a girl, a little girl who was kidnapped. She rescued him from the kidnappers, from the context in the book, it seems like they were going to do some very, very horrible things to her. Mm. So Spaceman has rescued her, but she's very high profile because her parents and her family are part of a reality TV series. So he's worried about handing her over and wants to keep her safe because obviously she's quite a target for people.
Yeah.
And in this story, Spaceman's friends are local kids, and they discover that she's there, and they think that he's taken her and stuff, and she comes to his defence, and there's a really tender relationship forming between the two, the bond, and he wants to protect her, and she's feels protected by him, which is get the sense as it's got the nice connotations and underlying messages, and the whole thing it's representing is about modern day media and how we talk to each other and how we communicate, and it's all wrapped up and it's obviously hyped up and extremed for the future, but it's not necessarily something that you think could be completely unrealistic, but it's, you know, you can see how someone in her position would be a vulnerable target for people to make money or to exploit. So this bond that she has with him, especially in this time, is very unique and quite precious as well. So, brilliant. Really, really love it. You're learning more about Spaceman and what his mission was.
Was he on the moon?
Yeah, he was on the moon. What his mission was, and his fellow spacemen that he was with as well, and how his relationship was with those people, and perhaps, we don't know, maybe some of them will come back. So, excellent story. Artwork's really, really good as well.
Yeah, I love it. I haven't read that one yet, but the thing I really liked while you were talking about it, I was just thinking about the kids finding her in the house, and just how funny it was in the previous issue that he's obviously doing the best he can, and he's physically more capable than a normal person, but he did such an incompetent job of hiding her.
Yeah, there's lots of things he just screws up on. But
he's brilliant, yeah.
But he has such a kind heart, and he is quite a pure sense of innocence, as in he was created to do one thing and one thing only, and the fact that he's evolved into the person he is now, the character, personality he is now, is very touching. And he understands and comprehends a lot more than most of the people who were human.
Yeah.
And yeah, he does get things wrong and he screws it up and you just think, oh no, but it all comes from a good place, and it's not, he doesn't want to cause any harm to anyone.
Oh, I love him. I keep worrying. I was quite worried in, I think, the second or third issue that he was going to... I was actually worried about him when he was on the boat trying to rescue her.
Yeah,
it's quite good. That hardly ever happens with characters anymore,
I think the fact that his physical size and what he's actually capable and his strength does it saves his skin, basically. Yeah. He can take a lot more than a human would be, but he is doing everything for good intentions, and it's good. I'm sorry, I'm being incredibly rude. There's just one link I wanted to find, but I can't.
That's quite an impressive piece of multitasking, I thought.
And the next book I'm going to talk about is one I picked up at the London Super Comic Convention, and it's Spandex, issue 6, by Martin Eden. Hotly anticipated. We're left on a bit of a cliffhanger in issue 5. It's part of the... this is part of the conclusion to the... I think it's the OMFG storyline. I think that's the name of the storyline. Yeah. OMFG part 3. And sad to say, there's only going to be one more issue.
You've been loving it, haven't you?
I do love it, yeah. This the story following the Spandex crew. So many new characters have been introduced, and the Spandex crew have been captured, and their brains are being probed, and people are trying to find their weaknesses to take them down, basically. Really, Martin just tells the story so well. The way he snips the humour in there is excellent. It's just little kickbacks. So something's quite serious and you get a kickback of humour and it just changes the tone completely. It's brilliant. In this issue, we find out Diva's secret, and it's a big secret. I'll tell you later.
I bought the first two issues. I haven't read any of it yet.
Can you guess what her secret is?
You won't know yet.
I haven't read them. I don't know.
Diva's character is brilliant. Martin's brain is brilliant to think that up, and I was very happy when I read that. There's going to be one more issue, which is sad. It was only going to be a short-term project for him. He's just taking a break off and wanted to do something a bit fun, and he is hoping that there'll be other bits he can do. But if you're not picking up Spandex, then I recommend you really do. We'll put the link in the show notes. I was trying to find that. You can buy issue 1 to 6, and you get lots of... And issue 6, you get lots of little mini comics.
Little
mini comics, which I'm pretty sure come with every issue. They're also stocked in some of the local... In Southampton, Forbidden Planet, and Manchester and London. I think Birmingham as well. But just three little mini comics which have a little bit of backstory about some of the characters in there. That was brilliant.
They were really cute.
I think 1 to 6 is £15. We have to double check the website. You can buy individual issues and you can buy the PDFs as well for a bargain price of £1. And issue 7, I think he's predicting, will be out in the autumn, hopefully in time for Thought Bubble. And I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a hardcover trade.
Do you want to try and do it that way?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a graphic novel for it. So that'll be collected. This is going to be awesome. But the story's been brilliant, and I'm really sad it's going to conclude.
You should do like a nice succinct little quote for the back or something. Spandex is so good it makes me want to shit.
Oh,
you can have that.
I have no idea why you aren't quoted on everything, James.
Spandex is so good it makes me want to shit. James Momcast.
No, I don't think so.
Shit gummy bears. Makes me want to shit gummy bears.
This is why you're never used on any of the promotion for any of Hickman's books. You just keep saying things like, it's like you can't help yourself.
It is like I can, yeah.
I can't think of a quote. I can't think of anything to sum it up.
You've got James's Spandex shit sitting in the middle of everything.
Spandex makes me so happy I could strangle cats.
I could strangle James.
Yeah, I was going to say, Spandex makes me so happy I could punch James in the face repeatedly.
How about Spandex, oh God, I've come. All of that is
OMG, I've come.
OMG, I've come.
Spandex is brilliant. You should definitely check it out. Not very expensive. And Martin's absolutely lovely. And yes, you should definitely get on that now. Thanks, James.
Last time I offer any of you guys any help.
Is that a promise?
Yeah.
He won't keep it.
No. No. It's David Wynne. He may or may not be cross.
Hello, monkeys. It's me, David Wynne. Long time no contribute. You asked for convention reports. Well, here's one. It's currently 6:30 on Saturday morning, Saturday the 25th of February. I'm just up early to get ready to go to London Super Comic Con. I was actually at the venue yesterday to help setting up. I'd been working the night before, so I didn't actually get there till quite late in the day, just in time to have missed most of the setup. You know, perfect timing me, but in time to have Ian Sharman, my co-creator on Hypergirl, and also he's a Marcosia editor, buy me dinner. Which was very nice of him. I ended up hanging around there till nearly 10 o'clock at night because Marcosia had a consignment of books that had all been printed specially for the show that hadn't yet arrived. And there was a certain amount of dramatic tension as we were waiting to see if these books would be delivered. And I hung around basically to help unload. In the end, they just made it, about 9:45, they turned up, and we got the car full of books unloaded and ready for the morning. And then I headed home on glorious London Transport, which, you know, is great and all that, but I left there at just after 10, and I got home at 9:40, which, considering I live just on the fringes of South London, it seems a bit crazy. Anyway, I'm rather looking forward to today. The venue looks fantastic. One of the things I'm particularly pleased about it, I mean, it's the XL. It's, you know, I know the XL quite well, but we're in a different part of it from where the MCM normally is. And they've made this hall slightly smaller. Not much smaller, but slightly smaller than the MCM hall, which I think is very wise for the first year of a new show. They've left a nice big space, floor space, in the area near where the various signings are taking place of big name people, including Stan Lee, which I think is genius. The most annoying thing at many, many cons is trying to struggle past these massive queues to people and having your table table obscured by massive queues for people. The idea of actually leaving a space for those things, I don't think I've ever seen that at a convention. That is such a good idea. So I was very pleased to see that. I will also be pleased to see how Ian copes with the fact that he's going to be doing portfolio reviews for Marcosia tomorrow. Or today, rather, this morning. But yes, the main thing I'm looking forward to right now is a fry-up for my breakfast. Oh yes, start the day off right and unhealthy. And I'll record another of these at some point later today. But here you go, Con Report Part 1. Bye. Well, hello monkeys. It is now 6:25 on Saturday. The day is over. I would have recorded one of these maybe a bit earlier in the day, but I did not have time. I have been drawing all bloody day. My back is killing me. And yet, I'm very happy, despite the fact that my back is killing me, because I have been drawing all bloody day. The show has been a resounding success. It's hard for me to say if that's necessarily the case for everybody, because I have been drawing all bloody day. I managed to get a bit of a walk around the hall around 4 o'clock when I decided to close for sketches, because I had been drawing all bloody day. And it still seemed very busy, which is unusual by that point in the day in a convention, I think. Everyone I spoke to seemed to be having a really good day. My local comic shop happened to be here, and I asked them how they were doing, and they were over the moon with the business that they've been doing. It's just been really good, really well organised. The staff are friendly, which shouldn't be a surprise at a Comic Con, but is. The organisation seems really good. The layout of the hall, what I said this morning about space, about there being lots of space, I was right. It didn't feel empty. It felt very full, but you could move around. It was perfect. It sounds like I'm gushing, and I guess I am, but I don't have a bad thing to say about the show. It's been really good. It's been very well attended, which I think was the main worry that some people had, was would it draw the numbers? Well, it has. It's been well attended, it's been well run, it's been pleasant to be at. I'm well chuffed. I think it's been great. The first day of London Super Comic Con gets a double thumbs up from Dave. Right, I'm off to the pub.
I got a blood blister from my secateurs. That's like the only tool I've got that I didn't borrow from you and then break, and it broke me.
It's good. So, Jane touched on it. You and she, Nick, went to London for the London.
That's okay. Don't leave it.
You and she, Nick,
went to the.
That London. Makes sense, actually.
Why don't you want
me to help
you put it away?
Because it's making too much noise. I'll do it in a minute. It's fine.
I was going to do it quietly and put you at ease, but you were really aggressive about not wanting me to F with your comic. Get off my comic, fat boy, I can do it. You're just going to F it up.
You two have done a really good job of not disrupting the show with the
Well, I was doing a fantastic job. I thought, this is making too much noise. I'll put this to one side. And then James was all over it. I was like, nope.
Well, for me, that was the highlight of the podcast so far.
Yes, James. Jane and I were very, very lucky to, at the very last minute, we ended up going up to the London Super Comic Con, is it called?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Where was that?
It was in London.
Whereabouts in London?
The Excel Centre.
There were lots of people in suits.
I can't remember what the stop is on the DLR, which is crazy.
It's the
Excel stop.
It's the Excel stop.
Jane. Yeah, the Excel. God.
Excel for Excelsior, because Stan Lee was there.
Yeah.
Holy comic creators, really.
It's a new con, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jane.
Yes, yeah, I'm great.
It's a new con. It's the first year it's running. I think you said that you were at the MCM, Expo was at the same place.
Yeah, it's in the same, uses the same place.
But we got in really quick. The queue was really
nice. Yeah, it was brilliant.
And they got through the queue really quickly, which was lovely.
They were very organised, I have to say. The staff throughout the whole day were brilliant. They were, I think a lot of them were volunteers, and they knew friends and family were organisers, and they all did a really good, really sterling job of diffusing situations and looking after people and for information. Nothing
bombs.
Untoward.
No, there were no bombs, James.
But
no,
they were just, they're very bombs. Approachable, and they sorted everything
out. They were good. It's a bit peculiar, because I think Thought Bubble is more spiritually, in terms of the comics and the creators who are there, that's more of a mob comic convention, but this one is also very mombi in that it's organized by one of the three organizers is a very old school friend of mine, it turns out. And at the same time, The Marcosia guys are like one of them is one of the other organisers, and Ian Sharman, who has contributed and like obviously we know quite well, like designed the program and stuff. Yeah, he designed the program and the lanyard, the things that come on the end of lanyards.
The lanyards.
The passes.
Yeah, ID badges.
And that was quite cool because rather than a little bracelet or anything, everyone had a pass, which was quite cool.
That was really good, much visible. Nice feeling. Yeah.
But the actual guests that were there, it was weird. I found it a little bit weird because it was kind of really high profile guests. I mean, Stanley obviously is one of them.
I've heard of him.
Yes. Really, really high profile guests, but from the perspective of people who, like, there were lots of great, like, current creators there. All of the creators were current, I think. There are lots of great new creators there, like people like Kieran Gillam were there. Obviously, Marcosia had quite a big showing. Our friends, Mr. Made of Wynn and Ian Sharman.
Didn't they have a booth?
They had a booth. And we saw a lot of old friends and people we'd met before, like Martin Eden and
Matt Dyson
and Warwick was there. We had a lovely chat with Warwick. There were some really high profile people, but they were from the history of comics. They were like people who were like Bill Sienkiewicz was there now. That was huge for me because he's been one of my favourite creators, but for decades, for probably about 25 years, maybe, who drew Elektra, who painted Elektra Assassin, and he's done really high profile books, but he's not one of those guys that he's not like a Kapow kind of guest where his style is really unusual. So although he does work on mainstream stuff, his style's known for being very fine arty and very abstract and stuff like that. People like him, Howard Chaykin was there. Was George Perry? George Perez was there.
I think so, I can't remember.
People from like the history of... I don't think I've got my program with me. Some really amazing people from the history of comics were there. So it felt almost like, although they were really high profile people, it was very much a comic, like a comic fans convention rather than just a Johnny Come Lately. Oh, I went and saw Kick-Ass, or I'm not gonna talk about Kapow loads, but like it wasn't aimed at the sort of people who are really into the whole variant cover and big event side of comics.
Good for those people, though.
Fair enough. But this was kind of very different. It was like
for a new con, it had found its identity quite quickly.
Yeah, it did. And everyone seemed to like. There weren't normally people bitch. With all the goodwill in the world, creators normally bitch. Everyone had a good time, really happy.
Especially they were talking to lots of people about the Saturday. They'd had so many. Everyone had done so phenomenally
well.
They did really well, and they were really hoping it would happen again the next year. Even the Sunday. I mean, Sundays are naturally slower because it's shorter and people have to work the next day. And especially if you're travelling, you've got to stay over and things. People would try to get away earlier, and people would get there later. But even on a Sunday,
we're still doing quite. Yeah,
we're doing really well. It was quieter, I think, for us. It was quite nice. It wasn't as bustly as we thought it was going to be. But everyone still did really well. So I think it was not just it was people were there to buy things. They were there to see things as well. So it was very nice to get to hear that about it.
There was a lot of access as well, and I think the only reason I had trouble with the only person I wanted to meet that I almost didn't was Bill Sienkiewicz, and that was because I literally made an effort to find him at the very end of
We kept wandering past his table and he wasn't there, and we knew the day before he'd been quite busy and he'd been doing sketches.
Yeah, him being the hero.
Yeah, he was doing so well. He was so nice and amenable, and he was there until quite late finishing sketches and doing signings for people. So he must have been pretty tired by Sunday, and he was probably having, I think he might have done a couple of panels as well on the Sunday, and probably sneaking off a well-earned rest every now and then.
I'm glad I didn't catch him earlier in the day on Sunday. Well, I'm not glad, but my wife, Amy, probably should be, because I would have dropped a couple of hundred quid on like a full blown sketch. I don't even know what I would have done with it, because like, I mean, I don't know what I'd do with a convention sketch commission. There was, but his arts, the watching him work, it's was gorgeous. Just amazing.
Everyone, like creators, other creators were coming along, just standing there watching him work. It was really nice.
It was cool. Warwick did me a little self-portrait of him in my sketchbook.
I think I creeped him out a little bit, but
why?
I don't know. I was just
were
a
you
bit
doing
like,
the thing? Did you try and lick his face again?
No, not again. Oh. I've learned my lesson with that. But just saying how much I love him, his work, and yeah, I was a bit creepy.
I pretended to be David Wynne for a bit as well, but no one really came over and talked to me
again.
Yeah,
because whenever I go to see David, he always thinks of cigarettes. So.
Whenever I see you, I just think of despair.
Oh, good.
Despair.
I like. Yeah. At despair. Least people don't ignore me, so that's good.
Yeah. We. I'm trying to think. What
there
else
was,
happened?
Well, there was loads of new people we met there as well. David Stoke was one who. The
brilliant.
The con was brilliant. The only sort of, not even a criticism, but the confusion I had was the floor plan in the guide that we got in the programme was upside down. So looking at the wrong way and took someone else to point it out to me because I'd had the same problem. So we found David Stoke and he was absolutely lovely. His artwork is awesome. It really blew me away.
I bought myself a Storm, a 1980s era punky Storm, which is just amazing.
I bought it was the Wolverine Weapon X, wasn't it? I haven't even read it. I don't even know. I just saw the picture.
Oh, that was awesome.
And I wanted it. I was like, that's amazing. So,
it's a good comic, though.
Yeah. Well, like you said, when we were discussing it and I was debating whether or not she could get it, you said, well, you know, what's the worst that will happen? It will inspire you to read the comic.
Yeah, so. Nobody's going to mind that.
Yeah.
I didn't meet Chris Ryle, but he was there and Jane got his signature for me, which was quite nice because he's writing Road Rage. I ended up buying a variant cover of the first issue of Road Rage, though. You know how I feel about variants. Martin,
I'm disappointed in you.
Martin Eden, was it last year's Thought Bubble?
Yes.
Told us we had to go and look at the work of this chap called Sal Wei.
Mm.
And he remembered that he had mentioned that last time and sent us to him again. But we hadn't found him last year.
No.
I haven't. Have you read yours?
I haven't read it yet. I was going to read it last night, but I didn't have enough time. I was a little bit sleepy. And I literally went, that deserves my full attention. So
it's called Windrush.
Yeah.
And he apparently only did it out of necessity, but he's hand bound it. But I haven't read it yet, but it just
looks
gorgeous.
Amazing. Yeah. Actually, one of the, with the Spandex 6, you get, I was talking about the mini backup stories, you get little comics. One of them's by him, Cherry Blossom Girls by him as well, drawn by him. It's really pretty.
It's just amazing, really,
yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, Chris Ryle, I had to go and speak to him, didn't I?
Ryle,
sorry.
That's right.
That's what I was really conscious of, calling him Riley for some reason. And I was like, my friend Nick, who's standing in that queue there, really likes you and wants this signed for him.
He didn't want to leave Bill Sienkiewicz because Bill Sienkiewicz is much more important.
I didn't say that.
Well, I mean, I think Chris Ryle would understand if he
just said that we were here early, but you weren't, and he really wanted you to sign the books, and I think he wanted to chat to you. And he asked if he wanted me to put a name on it, and I said no. I don't know why I said no.
Because I'm going to flip it on eBay.
I always, when they ask that, I always say, yeah, can you put it to eBay?
I got a Zombies versus Robots book. I didn't realise he'd done that with Ashley Wood, and I keep seeing that on the shelf. I keep seeing all of the different... the spin-offs of it on the shelf at the comic shop, and I haven't picked it up, but it was such a nice volume and it's quite interesting.
Yeah. We were talking to Karen.
No, I was going to say, I wasn't entirely sure because Zombies and Robots, it seems like it's cashing into two very, 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 very popular trends at the moment, but no, it's actually
that's vampires and werewolves.
I think all of them. You can if you had a comic with all four. Jane wouldn't buy it because of the robots, but maybe the vampires and the robots would cancel each other out.
Maybe. I don't think so. We spoke to the Marcosia guys for ages as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were talking to Cy and... It was Nick, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Very pretty girlfriend, wife, lady friend.
And also, creator. Because I've had such a wonky week this week, I haven't really got into properly talking, doing all of my catch up on Twitter, but we're all
and
Twitter buddies now.
Sarah as well. Sarah.
You were quite excited about meeting, because you talked to her online, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit, and I just really like her. And it was really nice to meet her in person and talking to her about how she got into what she's doing. And we, there's another person that we met, we know through Twitter, who actually introduced us on Twitter. It's really weird how everyone introduces you on the internet now. Dan and me, Dan and Sarah, were talking about Kapow for ages, which I wish I had a chance to record it, because some really insightful, really good conversation we had. But yeah, it's really lovely to meet Sarah, and she's been trooping where she hasn't been very well, but she looked fabulous. So you wouldn't tell she didn't feel well. She was very good. She was split between Marchese and Hyena as well. She did Hyena Studios, because she covers both, she does bits of work for both, so she was running across the con every
night. I wondered what the deal was there, because I saw her in both places. Also, I don't remember her name, but there was a, I think she works as a colourist.
Oh, Yael.
On Dan's table. Yael. Artinaut.
She did, didn't she do,
Hero 95.
Didn't she do, the colour for...
The cover.
Hypergirl?
Yes. Did she do? Oh. I can't believe I didn't remember that.
Did she do the colour for, did she colour George Perret as well?
She did the cover of the programme. She did the colour. She was very excited about. So,
We met her as well. It was just really cool, and it was quite chilled out as well.
The one thing I took from it. It wasn't frantic. It was really laid back, chilled out. Everyone was having a good time. There was no franticness at all, even towards the end of the con when people usually try to pack up and everything. But it was a really good day.
And we did get, we were very lucky to very briefly see Stan Lee answering some questions, which we weren't expecting to happen. That was cool. It was quite funny, because he was introduced, and the man who introducing him said, just be respectful. You can ask anything, but be respectful. And the first guy said, oh, we hear stories about what it was like with you and Jack Kirby and you and Steve Ditko doing the bouncing around and acting out scenes, but what was it really like? And Stan Lee, to be fair to him, answered it exactly as if someone hadn't just asked him what the creative thing was really like between him and Jack Kirby and him and Steve Ditko. So that was good. He handled all the questions well, didn't he?
He was very, you know, I don't want to say switched on, I don't want to be patronising, but he was...
He looked, when
I
he
know,
walked
it sounds
in...
Bless him!
No.
When he walked in, he looked quite old. And I know what you mean. When he walked in, I was like, well, I don't know how this is going to go. But then once he started answering questions...
He'd had a long weekend as well, because he'd obviously been doing a lot of stuff during the day and Friday.
And the one show, he was on the one show, I've recorded it.
Did they ask him crunchingly stupid questions?
Which show was that on?
Friday.
Oh, I have to watch that. But obviously, he was doing it Friday. I think he had a question and answer thing on Friday, and then Saturday, and obviously the Sunday. So it was long days for him. And obviously, having a huge queue of people to sit next to you and take your photo... Smiling's hard work.
The amount of disease that man is carrying back to America.
To be fair, he has to smile. It's part of the deal, isn't it?
I know, but
you can't be smiling Stan Lee and sit there with a face like a baboon's arse, can you?
But he was really good. It was really good fun, entertaining. It was brilliant.
And then we had drinks with David and Lee.
And we can't remember Lee's girlfriend's name, can we? Wife's name.
I can't remember. And then there were two other people there, and I vaguely remember them, but I was already in going home mode.
Rob, and one was called Dean, I think. Yeah. That's right.
And then we had McDonald's. That was the high point.
We can talk about this.
We were so lucky getting home, as we were delayed, and suddenly ran to the DLR. The train almost immediately got there, and we got off at Canning Town, and there was a tube there. We were like, is this the right one? While we're running onto the tube. And then we got to the train station.
Yeah. All of the toilets were broken on
in
our train.
That was the only drawback for tubes.
Thank God it wasn't full of football fans. That would be horrible.
I was really worried about you. You were gone for a time. Yeah. Yeah, people don't listen to what the train guard tells you. And then you fight with an empty toilet. That was the funniest thing about that. The fact this guy was having an argument with a toilet with nobody in it.
Really?
Yeah. He was banging on the door going, come on, hurry up. I'm like, dude, they've just announced all the toilets in the front five coaches aren't working. You're banging on a door, shouting at someone who isn't there.
You've really not spent very much time with drunk football
fans. I know, but it was funny because everyone was aware of it, obviously apart from Nick because he was really sick. But everyone was aware of it and all sort of licking each other and smiling a little bit.
I zoned out completely of the football fans. I just wasn't paying any attention.
He was just drunk and hadn't paid attention and obviously busting for a pee as well.
Horrible feeling.
I was really worried he was going to wet himself at one point.
Well, because the longer you leave it, you've got a whole train to get down. The closer you get and desperately needing to go, you've got like three or four carriages before you can go. So it's a roulette wheel thing, whether or not you're going to wee on which carriage you're going to... I don't know, really.
And then we had McDonald's.
Which is great. I haven't had one in ages. It was actually quite welcome. I bought an original piece of art by Warwick. That's what James wants me to mention. It is of the... it's based on the Beastmaster. It's of the Beastmaster, which is a film that I have not seen. But it is a bit of a classic.
I'll tell you what it
1980s,
is.
1980s.
So. Fucking lovely.
It is lovely, isn't it?
I was getting really annoyed because you weren't talking about it and I could see it but couldn't quite see it.
I didn't bring the prints that I bought from him because I framed them.
Have you already?
Yeah,
that was quick.
His collection's rivaling David Wayne's.
Mm. Warwick is quite good at doing the art and that, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's all right, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. It's lovely.
So that was that. That was our Sunday. I don't know. I haven't really heard many... I haven't really been paying any attention to what went on at Cardiff at the weekend. I don't know how that went, but I imagine it went quite
well.
Sounds
like it's a success. I know obviously Stace Whittle was there launching Into the Woods and it sounds like that went down very well, as it well should.
That's good. It was a good weekend for comics in this country.
Yeah. What a good weekend for me. My mum and her other half came round. I made them a casserole. I couldn't smell anything. I said to my mum, how does it smell? She went, it smells all right.
Yeah, that sounds like the worst weekend anyone's ever had. God, he's in such a dramatic mood.
I know.
Key-ha! What is it good for?
Talking about comics.
Hello, monkeys. Key-ha here, talking about comics. And the comic I'm talking about today is Johnny Red Devil Rising. This is a collection of strips following on from Falcon's First Flight, which was a collection of the first run of Johnny Red stories. Who's Johnny Red? Johnny Red is a Liverpudlian merchant seaman who had been discharged dishonourably from the RAF in the course of a naval battle. He escapes on a catapult-launched Hurricane and ends up fighting with the Soviet Air Force in the skies above Leningrad and many other places. In this collection, it continues the excellent work that we've already enjoyed in the earlier volume. These were published in Battle Comics, which was a boys' home adventure strip, but it was more visceral than titles like Warlord or Commando. It was launched in the 70s, and while it didn't go for the full-on 2000 AD, it had considerably more vitality and kind of punk attitude to it. And Johnny Red himself sums this up. He's perfectly happy to chin a senior commander and then blackmail him with giving away his nasty secrets to the Soviet secret police. While this was in a boy's own story, Johnny isn't this sort of character who flies around shooting five Huns before breakfast. In one strip, he might shoot down a couple of Germans, but it's very much a slog, a grinding battle of attrition that he's involved in. Which is surprising, and if that sounds like a very intelligent observation, that's because it's made by Garth Ennis in the introduction to this collection. The art by Joe Pulpin has the attention to detail and the earthy visceralness that you would expect if you'd seen his work in Charlie's War. Amongst other things, for my sins, I play with toy soldiers, and there was a... Traditionally, if you go back years, wargamers used to paint their historic figures according to the ideal for that particular army. And sort of 80s and 90s, that got broken down, and people started producing figures in what they used to call campaign dress, so, you know, with wear and tear to their uniforms, and where, you know, they started to co-opt bits of the opponent's uniforms because they worked or they had to, that kind of thing. It all came in. Joe Colquhoun's art does that in these strips. If you have a set of German infantry, not one infantryman will be equipped the same as his fellows. There will be differences in equipment, differences in their load-carrying equipment, in their uniforms, in their helmet covers. In their, it's very, very well observed, and nothing in there is gratuitous. Speaking of gratuitousness, there is some blasé experiments with history in the plots. An American bomber squadron turn up, for instance, things like that. But compared to a lot of boys' war comics of the time, sort of 70s, 80s, this is actually quite historical, but it doesn't have the level of veracity that the aforementioned Charlie's War, written by Pat Mills, did. Keeping with that kind of 70s feel and sort of 70s cinema feel, these characters in these stories are very human. There's a lengthy plot involved about a new squadron commander who's basically suffering from shell shock. There's also Johnny Red himself suffers vision problems, which appear to be stress related, that give him problems with flying, and it's whether he keeps that under his hat and stuff. You know, there's real flawed people, and the biggest flaw Johnny has is his bloody temper, and the temptation to reach for his fists. I've probably rambled on far too long and indulged on your patience far too much. Suffice to say, if I did not persuade you to have a look at these comics with the original volume, please, please, please check them out. The acting, the storytelling of these strips is brilliant. Where they play around with the historical facts through the artwork and the strains on humanity shown, there is an underlying truth there that was quite radical at its time. To be honest, a lot of the superhero mainstream could still reach and crawl into their work now. That's enough for me. This is Key Hart from Dissecting Worlds, Downing Scalpels.
Shall I talk about my spotlight book? Let's do this.
Is he really accusing me of being overly melodramatic?
You are being overly melodramatic.
But don't you think that's like really unself-aware?
No, I'm not saying that I'm not. I'm just saying that you are.
That's why I'm finding it doubly insulting. Right, I'm leaving!
That comment is very overdramatic.
Oh, God.
It's because you're poorly and you are sensitive at the moment.
I am really. It's horrible. I hate it.
You're like an exposed vein, nerve, not vein.
I'm really aware of it, which is making it worse, because I think, I'm doing a really good job of fighting it, and then, I succumb to it.
I reckon we could get a full diagnosis of your mental health conditions from someone on this, solely on the basis of this podcast.
Do you know, I fucking love that. It's the validation I seek.
I was hoping I'd get something like that from the doctor the other day, but no, she just sent me for some blood tests. You just kind of go there wanting them to tell you exactly what it is that's wrong with you, so that you don't have to worry about it anymore, even if, you know...
Oh, I ain't been to a doctor in 13 years, fuck them.
Really?
There's nothing they can do to me now.
They can do to you.
I'm beyond their reach.
For you.
Oh yeah, for me.
Book I'm going to spotlight this week is called Lunar Park. It's by Kevin Baker, who is apparently an author who, I don't know if this was the first comic he'd done, with art by Daniel Zezelj. I'm never entirely sure how to pronounce his name. He's done lots of work for Vertigo, and I know him specifically from some of the westerns he has done. I think he might have done Jonah Hex for a while, I'm not sure. It is a lovely hardback volume from Vertigo, And I picked it up in the sale at Forbidden Planet recently. You know, I pick up loads of awesome stuff from the sales they do. The sad thing is, though, that it means that the book didn't sell well enough in that store, which is why they put it on sale. But anyway, it's about a former Russian soldier who is called Alec, who now lives in the US, and he's kind of ended up as an enforcer for a local mob guy, and he's in a relationship with a woman, another Russian called Marina, who is a it's never entirely clear what she is, but she's like a stripper or a hooker for a rival crime boss. And so what unfolds is kind of this quite depressing, down-at-heel crime story about these two immigrants stuck in this really, really sort of untenable situation that's just not going to get... there's no way it's going to get any better, basically. There's kind of this sense of foreboding because you know that at some point soon the two mobs are going to clash. It's all set against the backdrop of the amusement parks in Coney Island. Okay. The main character, Alec, has a drug problem. There's the whole thing is kind of... there's this suggestion that literally his life couldn't, you know, their lives are pretty much as bad as they can possibly get. There's talk of Marina has a daughter that she never gets to see. There's and in the middle of all of this, which it seems like a fairly straightforward crime story, Alec is having these weird dreams about being a soldier in like World War I, I guess, or that sort of era. And that's just confusing him even more, and he's getting these weird visions of that going on. He's also thinking a lot, he's also having lots of bad dreams about this woman he feels he let down in back in Russia, back like before he went to America, when things got really bad. But then the book kind of hits this point around the middle where suddenly it becomes apparent that something else is going on.
Okay.
And there's this mystical... mystical's the wrong word, really, but there's this kind of magic realism thing that kicks in where it turns out that you start to get the impression that he isn't just having weird... dreams, that there's more to these weird dreams of a past war, and that the similarity in the situations that he's finding himself in now with the situation that he found himself in back in Russia with this other woman who Marina reminds him of, aren't just coincidences. It's not just him finding patterns, that there's other stuff going on. And I can't really say more about it about that aspect of it, about the story, beyond to say that it starts out as a crime story, and that story plays itself out in quite a satisfying way, but there's other stuff going on, and it really surprised me, but never confused me, actually. One thing that both Kevin Bacon and Kevin Bacon, who has nothing to do with this, Kevin Baker and Danny Zelge, never do, is even though they're juggling these different story elements that require that characters look quite similar to other characters and stuff like that, that once you enter into that sort of psychodrama side of things, and also into the weirder, more surreal elements of it, you're still pretty much on top of what's going on. All these different themes and evocative situations start interweaving with the, for want of a better word, real narrative that's going on. But you're never finding yourself thinking, well, what the fuck is going on, sort of thing. I really bought this because it was a hardcover book with Dan Zelge's art in it. I haven't I haven't got an awful lot of his stuff, but I just love his art so much. It's very dark and moody and in some ways almost ugly, but that's kind of a weird way of putting it.
It's just gritty. It's sort of, it reflects the story. The story's pretty ugly. Their situation is ugly.
Exactly. I know what you mean. And it's appropriately so. He captures the different... The atmosphere of all of the different locations are really well captured. And I don't know if it's fully painted. The colourist was Dave Stewart, who I think is one of those names that comes up in a lot of different comics. He's very, very good. But just, it's really atmospheric, very, very moody art. The writing is actually great for a first time, you know, for a novelist come comic writer. Doesn't always happen that way. And he, although there is a very... it's got a very, like, a sort of literature feel to it. There's a better way of putting that. But although it has that feeling and it takes in a lot of history, as much as I've said it's like a crime story, there's also this really interesting historical fiction element to it where you feel like you're learning lots about the different periods of time that they're talking about. Again, I can't go into too much detail about that either. It's just a really... satisfying, layered read. It looks gorgeous. If you can get hold of the hardcover, like I said, I don't know if Forbidden Planet are selling this cheap at all of their branches or if I was just lucky here, but it's well worth picking up. It's just really, really nice book. I loved it.
Awesome.
And I was surprised that I did because I was expecting it to be good for a sale book.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank
That's
you.
That's it. That's me done on with that.
That was nice. I've got two things regarding friends of ours that I need to mention very quickly before we move on.
Is this another one of those inappropriate things?
Yeah, I'm going to declare my undying love to at least two separate men.
But you're not going to say anything about people who are getting married or any of that stuff?
No.
Okay, good.
The first one is, we've spoken about George Beedham's Mighty Jambo on many occasions. George is publishing the first arc, first six issues, I think, in a hardback book. He's going to tell me I've got that completely wrong. But The Mighty Jambo, Volume 1, he's setting it up as an Indiegogo...
Project thing.
There's loads of really cool incentives on there. But go to Indiegogo, look for The Mighty Jambo. I'm going to get on it. I think most of us will. It's really cool. I love Jambo. It's cool. So support George, because Jambo is very cool. And the second is the marvellous Graham Johnson and his beautiful private study comic starts a new chapter on Monday. It's a perfect jumping on point. So go and check out what Graham's done so far at privatestudycomic.co.uk and then get on it on Monday and have a look at what he's doing in the new chapter. I love it at the moment, especially the way he's using it, because it's painted. A really washed out effect he's got in the moment. Just looks lovely. Very emotional climax to the last chapter as well.
I do like an emotional climax.
I like an emotional climax. It's
better than a disappointing climax. Yeah. Or a guilt-ridden, despondent climax.
Yeah, which the majority of mine are, to be fair.
I think we've got a contribution from Mr. Wynn.
Oh, yes, we have. Yes. You will have listened to that at some point.
How many hours does that weigh in it?
About three or four, knowing David.
Good job, we love him so much, isn't it?
Yes, so thank you, David.
Thank you.
Now I'm fiddling about on my phone. What a horrible... It's because I had the stuff on there.
Any plans for this week, you guys?
I'm going to buy some fish for my aquarium.
Fish for your aquarium?
Fish for my aquarium.
There's nothing else going on this weekend for you, James.
I might go out Saturday night. For a meal.
What happens on Monday? Sunday.
Nothing. Sunday I'm going to buy fish.
Okay.
It's going to be good. Jane, I can get two goldfish to start with, because I've had the aquarium set up for weeks. So I can get two small goldfish. In a month's time, I can start putting tropicals in there.
When you obsess about something, you obsess about something.
Yeah.
Yes, I have plans for this weekend. I'm going to be doing things.
I think I'm going to as well. I think there's going to be gardening going on at some point. I'm enjoying the gardening. I plan to grow sweet corn and peppers and chili peppers and 6 different varieties of tomatoes. eight different varieties of tomatoes and nasturtium. And lots of other stuff.
Yeah.
I can have looked something up then.
Potatoes,
you
salad.
You made me think of something. I'm sure there was an American politician called Randy Bumgardner. And I really can't. Now I'm really worried. I've made that up in my head.
Randy Bumgardner.
Randy Bumgardner.
I know someone on Twitter who calls himself that.
Yeah, it's funny though. It's a funny name.
I think that's us, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think at the point when James is looking up politicians'
names. I think at the point
when
you're both listing your obsessions.
Yeah, there is. There's a real life politician called Randy Bumgardner.
Bumgardner.
Great, okay.
Do you giggle whenever anyone you know is diagnosed with it or tells you you might have Asperger's? Because it sounds Asperger's.
Asperger's. Yeah, I would, yeah.
Thank you for listening, listener.
You're awesome.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to Africa. Yes, ma'am, I'm a brick. Was President Lincoln okay, Mitten? There's a dog in the vent. Chicken necks, I pick Ken Griffey Jr. I bow out two times. Taste like fish sticks were a totem pole. Dying tickles. I heard a Frankenstein lips her cheese touching my special area. Go banana. Ralphie. That's where I saw the leprechaun. Fun toys are fun. Chocolate microscopes. You're not it. That is so 1991. I bit my tongue.
I just remember the story you told me.
Well,
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
James.
That's really inappropriate.
That is incredibly inappropriate. What have you been doing? Are you...
That was your con friend. We had a really nice day on Sunday. We bonded.
Awesome.
We didn't need James. We realised.
Well, or Steve, for that matter.
Yeah, I know. It
could
just be two of us.
Mm.
We were most charming.
It was good. The train was good. Both ways.
Yep.
That sounds rude.